Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's good to see everyone in the room. we are here for Holy Spirit Guides now. This is the time of the week that I have set aside to share from the personal messages that have been given to me since about 2004, actually, to help me in my awakening process. But right now, we've been going through these messages in chronological order, and right now we are in January 2008, and this is the period of time when Laurent and I were together in relationship, and the messages that were being given seemed to be given to both of us. And tonight, we're going to be looking at a message that came when there was the appearance of rejection in our relationship. You know, Laurent and I went through many phases in our relationship, and if you've been listening to the whole story, you know about some of the phases that we went through. One of the phases that we went through, at least in my perception, and Laurent's not here this week, so I can only share my perception. But one of the phases that we went through was what I would call a very romantic phase. There was a period of time when I just felt like I was head over heels in love with him, and I felt that he was acting the same way with me. And I was, you know, it's funny because the Course talks about how really the special relationship is the ego's, you know, crown jewel or whatever words he uses. I don't know exactly. But, you know, that's really what I was experiencing during this period of time. I was so head over heels in love that I thought Laurent was the answer to all of my prayers. I thought that, you know, heaven lied in our relationship, which happens, I think, when we fall in love. I think we fall for that trick. I thought that, you know, and I remember in my prayers, I was so into this, in my prayers, I was saying, thank you to God for this man. Thank you to God for this relationship. You know, I just thought it was everything. And then what happened is that, at least from my perspective, around the middle of January 2008, for what appeared to be no reason, what looked like Laurent's love for me, in fact, what had felt like intense love from my perspective, suddenly turned to hate. There wasn't a fight. There wasn't anything like that. It just suddenly turned to hate. And we had been sharing a bedroom, and he left the bedroom and moved into the guest room. And for the next couple of months, I would say, even though we continued to live together in the same house, he avoided me at all costs. Laurent's natural body clock kind of keeps him up at night anyway. My body clock keeps me up during the day. So what would happen is he would take advantage of this, and he would, for the most part, not come out of the guest room at all during the day. He might just a little bit to get some tea or something and then disappear again. And then at night when I went to bed and closed the door, within a few minutes of me closing the door, I could hear him come out. And he lived in the house at night. I lived in the house at day, in the daytime. And I will tell you, I was really, really hurt. I had a broken heart because, again, I thought that my dreams had somehow come true. I thought that I was madly in love. I thought this relationship was heaven. And so when it took such a sudden and fairly drastic turn, I was really, really, really hurt. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what happened, and we're going to look at what Holy Spirit taught me, and we're going to look at the true healing that occurred. But before I do that, I would like to say a prayer. And before I do that, I would like to get a drink. So hold on, let me have a drink. All right. Let's go into prayer. Holy Spirit, before closing my eyes, the last thing that they landed on was Lisa Hansen's comment, which she was helping me or agreeing with me, that romantic love is one of the ego's finest traps. I'm actually aware, Holy Spirit, that there are many traps. Many ways our mind finds to distract us from our true purpose. The purpose of awakening or realizing our true self, what we already are, what we always have been, all that really matters, the only thing that is real. Spirit, I want to pray a prayer. I want to pray it for me, and I want to pray it for all of my brothers who find their heart in the same place, in the same prayer. If they feel that I am speaking their voice, then I am speaking their voice. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us to see these traps, these ways that the ego distracts us from our purpose. Help us to see them quickly and with clarity, so that we can let go of all distractions before we waste too much time with them and return ourselves to our true purpose. It is my prayer, and the prayer of anyone who agrees with me, has the same heart as me. It is my prayer to walk as straight a line as possible to full self-realization. And in order to do that, I need your help, the help of clarity. I need something in my mind to alert me when I am falling for a trick. I give you permission to interrupt my ego thoughts and point out to me my own ego thoughts, my own ego distractions. And I trust that you will answer this prayer, and so I give thanks. Amen. All right. So, Laurent is not here, and last week at the very end of the teaching, he said something which was the first time that he had really given an explanation that I heard as to what may have happened that caused this drastic turn where he, you know, like I said, where love seemed to turn to hate, and where he got up and you know, left the bedroom and went from being, you know, with me all the time to avoiding me all of the time in the same house. So what I would like to do is I would like to play what he said. That way we can have it in his own words, since he's not here tonight, for me to turn the mic over to him. I'd like to go ahead and play what he said, and that gives representation to that side. So I have the last few minutes, the last couple of minutes of last week's teaching. I don't think I had time to get it to exactly the right spot, so we may be popping in the middle of an answer he was giving to Lord Blue. But then you'll hear him say something like, and while I have the mic, Regina, there's something I want to say. And when you hear him say that, that's where he's going into the explanation of what happened. And I don't think he even knew that I was going to teach the rejection message this week. So it's just one of those unique coincidences that he would have given this to me last week, just in the nick of time. So here we go.
The power of light is the first one. And there we go. I just want to say something, Regina, because it's the end, and I've noticed, like, I think it was last week, or the week before, no, last week, I wasn't there, but I heard that you were saying that we were entering, like, a very difficult time in that month of January, and I wrote something a little earlier, because that message, the last paragraph of the message, opened for me, personally, because you wanted to hear my part of the story. For me, it opened the worst month in my whole life, I think. Just happened right after this message. It really shook up the foundation. And it was all nice and stuff, but for me personally, I just couldn't take it. I didn't know what was up. It was too much resistance. And that was, of course, the first thing would be to project that on on my dearest Regina. You know, one doesn't know any better. I didn't know any better at the time. But it was like, wow, frantic hate. It was terrible. Okay, I love you, dear. Bye.
Okay, so that's what he has to say. He said that it had something to do with that last message. And I'm not certain which message he's talking about when he says that last message. I don't know if he means the one we did last week, which is called Choose to Be Happy with the Wish to Be Different, or the one before that, which is called Broaden Your View. My intuition tells me that it was the last paragraph of this very last message, which was called Choose to Be Happy with the Wish to Be Different. And the message I'm on tonight, Cheryl, isn't posted, so I'm going to be sharing a PDF file in a moment. I think when it first came, I thought it felt too personal, so I never posted it. It's about rejection. So I'll share that in just a moment. But first, let me read this paragraph that I think Laurent was referring to when he said it just caused a lot of resistance. This paragraph says, "Remember that fear is resistance to letting go of the false as true." That's a definition that Holy Spirit has given us in this series of messages, a definition of fear. He calls it resistance to letting go of the false as true, right? He says, accept your resistance without judgment, then step forward into my request, remembering that patience is key. Again, this is a summary to last week's message. And then this is how he ends that message. We are going very deep into the mind now, and this is the answer to the questions that you ask. We will continue to step into the mind by going in one little bit at a time, but we are going in at the core, so the effects of the going shall be great. And that's how that message ended. So it's possible that, you know, when Spirit said, okay, we're going to be going in now, and we're really going to be looking at some stuff that's in the mind. You know, it's possible that that really scared Laurent. It's possible that that was the resistance he's referring to. But whether it was this particular paragraph or another paragraph in a recent message, basically what he was saying is he had a lot of resistance to something that came through. And all that he could do with it at the time all was just to project it onto me. Now remember, I'm the scribe. I'm the one these messages came through. And that is what he says caused the turn from love to hate. So that's his side of the story. And of course, I didn't know any of this till last week. So back in 2008, when it occurred, again, I had no idea why the water went from hot to cold all of a sudden. And like I said, my heart was very deeply broken. And one thing that seemed to make it really difficult is that he was still there in the house. It's like I had to face the rejection constantly. If he did happen to be up when I was up, and he happened to pass me in the house, you know, and look at me, you know, the hatred in his eyes was so clear. It was so clear, and, you know, I was just so terribly hurt. And then, like I said, at night when I would go to bed, and a few minutes later hearing him come out, just knowing that he had been waiting for me to go to bed before he could come out of his room, you know, it was really hurting. And it's just like this was in my face all of the time. So what I'm going to share with you now is a link to a message. This is a PDF file. I've called it The Perception of Rejection. What I did was I sat down with Holy Spirit. It looks like about the 19th, and I believe the rejection probably happened around the 14th or 15th. So I walked around with this for a few days. And then I wrote to Holy Spirit and had a discussion with Holy Spirit about this. And this is what I really want to share, is Holy Spirit's perspective on what was going on. So again, I've given you a link to the message. This is not posted on reginadonacres.com. During this period of time, during this year, I was doing The Way of Mastery. It's actually a three-year course, I believe, but my inner pace was one-third of that time. So I did the entire course, but I did it in 1 year. And it looks like what prompted me to start writing to Spirit is because I was trying to read The Way of Mastery. I was trying to focus on it, and I couldn't. My mind was too distracted about what was going on in the house. And so, could you post again? Yes, I can post again. So here is the link one more time. There you go. All right. So I will begin reading at the top. I said to Holy Spirit, I can't focus on the way of mastery. My mind keeps going back to the idea that I am being rejected by Laurent. Okay, so again, I was totally distracted. Holy Spirit says, how do you feel? And so I described my feelings. The first one was sad. You know, that was the heartbreak. I'm sad. But then the next emotion I found, angry. You know? And then I want to attack him. You know, I really wanted to just attack him because he had hurt me so badly. And then I said, I also feel trapped, like there's no way out. Because again, he was there in the house. You know, he was there. I couldn't get away from this rejection. So I was sad, angry. I wanted to attack him, and I felt trapped, like there's no way out. Holy Spirit asked, can you remember being here before? And as soon as he asked that question, my mind flashed back to a relationship I had in Berlin, Germany, with a man that I dated there. And there was a period of time when he seemed to also reject me. He, you know, broke up with me and immediately started dating another girl. And the funny thing from my perception was none of his friends liked me ever. And so when they broke up with me, there was this huge celebration. Like they were really happy, and they very quickly brought in another girl and you said, here, you know, join with her. And he did. And again, I had the deep heartbreak. I don't remember even what that, you know, what the stimulus may have been for the breakup. I don't remember in that case, but I had this deep heartbreak, you know, all of these same feelings. And I was so angry at him, you know, for just doing what his friends wanted him to do. And I also felt trapped because we worked together. It was just like with Laurent, you know, with Laurent, we lived together. With this guy, we worked together. So I had to be with him and her and all of his friends, you know, all of the time. So when Spirit said, can you remember being here before? My answer was, yes, I've been here before. This is, you know, this is a rerun. Some of the details are different, but this is definitely a rerun. So when I saw that it was a rerun, Spirit said, can you accept that it's in your mind? Right? If you've had this experience before, then can you accept that it's in your mind? And at first, I would say I was playing the game of being a good course student, and I said, yes, I accept it's in my mind. But then I realized I was lying. That isn't how I felt. I don't feel like this is in my mind. I wrote, but not totally, you know, because as I am writing this, a voice is jumping up and down and saying, this is reality here. And that is exactly how I felt. This is not in my mind. You know, I'm sitting here in the living room. Laurent's right over there in the bedroom, you know, hating me right now, avoiding me right now. This is not in my mind. This is real life, and it hurts, and it sucks, and I hate it. Okay, that's honesty. So I started to play the spiritual game. But then I caught myself, and I stepped away from that spiritual game into honesty. But I said, this is reality here, right? This is reality. And so Spirit said, can you accept that the reality comes from the mind? Now, something switched for me. When he asked the first question, can you accept that it's in the mind, I was thinking of myself as a person, personally, Regina. And no, this is not in Regina's mind. This is happening, you know, right here in my life. This is not my mind. It's reality. But then when he said, can you accept that reality comes from the mind? You know, I was reminded of all of the messages that Spirit had given me, like the code, right? And I really did accept at a heart level. Now I'm not playing a game. I really did accept at a heart level that even though this seemed to be the reality of my life, what seems to be the reality of my life does come from beliefs that I have in my mind. The Holy Spirit taught me very well through the message of the code. So now I'm not playing a game. So when I come back this time and I say, okay, the reality comes from the mind, so what do I do? This is a true surrender now. Now I'm surrendering to the teacher, an honest, heartfelt surrender. And although I don't know how this situation came from the mind, I am accepting that there has to be a belief. There has to be something in my mind that is causing me to perceive this as I do, that is causing this situation to be in my experience. And if it wasn't for something in my mind, everything would be different. So I'm not playing a game. I say, okay, the reality comes from the mind, so what do I do? And here's what Holy Spirit says. Start by not wanting to change anything. Now that's, you know, Holy Spirit, at least through me, dives right in. There's no beating around the bush. And as you can imagine, I did want to change something, right? I wanted to make him love me again. Or, if not that, then make him get the hell away from me. Right? But not live in my house continually rejecting me. You know, this is no fun, Holy Spirit. I want it to disappear. I want him to go away so I can forget about him. Or I want him to love me again. But not this in-between crap where he's always hanging around, you know. So Spirit is asking me to let go of all of those thoughts. He says, start by not wanting to change anything. Start by being willing to accept exactly what is. He says, when you want it to be different than it is, you are creating a strong power around it that keeps it firmly in place. That reminds me of, who was it, Carl Jung, that says, what we resist persists. This is the same statement. When you want it to be different than it is, you are creating a strong power around it that keeps it firmly in place. You start by noticing all of your feelings around the situation. Drop from the thoughts to the feelings. Now, if any of you all are doing the NTI daily reading, then you know that this morning Barb read NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is basically the exact same teaching as NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2. Spirit asks us not to deny any of our feelings. And in fact, look very, very carefully at our feelings. He says, drop from the thoughts to the feelings. Really dive into them. Just like it says in NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we're focused on my thoughts, if I'm focused on, you know, how unfair Laurent is, you know, or whatever my thoughts were. I don't really remember specifically. I think I probably even saw him as emotionally abusive at the time. You know, how emotionally abusive he was. When my thoughts are thinking like that, what's really happening is that I am being distracted away from my own emotions. I may still be feeling emotions, you know, while I'm having these thoughts about, you know, Laurent. But I'm not fully paying attention to what I'm feeling. In order to really look at what I'm feeling, I need to drop the story. So that's what Spirit was asking me to do. Drop the story and pay more attention to what's going on inside of me. Because there's something inside of me that needs to be seen. And I'm not going to see what needs to be seen if I'm distracted by blaming Laurent. I'm distracted by those thoughts, right? So he says, you start, here's how you're going to start, by noticing all of your feelings around the situation. So don't ask the situation to be any different. Be willing to let it be exactly as it is right now, and now look inside at your feelings about it. Drop from the thoughts to the feelings. Really dive into them, he says. Whenever the thoughts are coming at a fast pace, like rapid fire, there are always feelings attached. These feelings can be quite strong, and staying at the level of thought can cover up the feelings. Remember, the thoughts are props or projections. They are literally a part of the escape. You know, so, and again, this is the same teaching from this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's saying that the thoughts are an escape from the experience. And it's a projection. I mean, instead of looking at what is in me that is really causing this pain, my story is blaming Laurent, right? My story is blaming him as being emotionally abusive, right? My story is blaming him of being afraid of love. You know, my story is blaming him. You see, that's a defense mechanism. I'm not looking at me. I'm not looking in me to see what's causing this pain if I'm listening to my story that's blaming him. So what Spirit is saying is I have to let go of the story. I have to let go of the thoughts. They are projections. They are defense mechanisms, and they are distracting me from what I really need to look at, what the real problem is here, which is in me. The real problem is in me. So he says again, whenever the thoughts are coming at a fast pace, like rapid fire, there are always feelings attached. These feelings can be quite strong, and staying at the level of thought can cover up the feelings. Remember, the thoughts are props or projections. They are literally a part of the escape. They can be useful for a time in helping you to see there is a feeling that needs to be looked at, but the feeling or effect must be examined if the true cause is ever to be realized. Stories of form are never true cause. Stories of form are never true cause. I'm not upset because Laurent's love seemed to turn to hate and he left the bedroom and went to the other room and started avoiding me in the house. That's what Spirit's saying. That's not why I'm in pain. That's not why I'm suffering. And if I keep getting caught up in that story, I'm never going to see the true cause. Remember, I have been here before, right? This is not the first time this story has happened to me. So after Spirit explained this to me, I said, I'm afraid I won't feel the true depth of my feelings. And that came from recognizing that there was also a fear here. So already I'm actually becoming aware of my feelings. Because before, remember, I listed sad, angry, I want to attack him, you know, basically hopeless, I feel like there's no way out of this. But now I'm really starting to list fear. I'm afraid, you see? I'm afraid I won't feel the true depth of my feelings. Now, this fear is not a little fear, although we're going over it pretty quickly here. But this fear is the fear that there is something so wrong with me that I won't heal, that I have Holy Spirit right here guiding me exceptionally clearly. And yet I won't be able to follow his instructions or his directions and heal, that I'm not good enough to heal. So if he's asking me to go in and feel my feelings, I'm saying, I don't think I'll be able to feel them good enough because I'm not good enough to do this good enough, right? It's an inherent belief in bad. The Course calls it guilt. NTI calls it unworthiness. It's the same thing. It's an inherent belief in I'm bad. So I said again, I'm afraid I won't feel the true depth of my feelings. I'm not good enough to feel the true depth of my feelings. Holy Spirit says, you will. You only have to stop being afraid of your feelings. You still judge your feelings as wrong, and so you don't go into them as much as you could. Now, of course, I'm really judging much more than my feelings as wrong. I'm judging me as wrong. And what I'm really afraid of is that if I dive down into my feelings, if I take that trip down into the darkness, that what I'm going to discover is that what I fear is true. I am bad, right, at the core. So Spirit is trying to guide me down into these feelings. Because remember, the feeling of guilt, the feeling of unworthiness, the feeling of I'm bad, these are the feelings that I really fear the most. And he's asking me not to be afraid of my feelings, not to judge whatever feelings I find as I go through this investigation as wrong. Instead, just be willing to go. Just be willing to go. Now, I asked a question here that I don't quite understand. I'd probably have to put my brain back into 2008. It says, what about my recent post about letting go of judgment? I have no idea why I thought that question, what I thought that question had to do with what Spirit was asking me to do. Because he says that I still judge my feelings as wrong and I don't go into them as much as I should. Maybe I thought that I wasn't judging myself. Maybe I'm saying, but I just posted that I don't judge my feelings. I'm not sure what this means. But I said, what about my recent post about letting go of judgment? And he said, you are letting go of judgment when you drop from the thoughts to the feelings. You are no longer allowing thoughts to generate feelings through believing them, and you are experiencing without judgment or without judging the effects of past beliefs. So I don't quite understand my question, but I do understand Spirit's answer. Spirit is saying that in order to do this work of dropping from the story and go in and just look at the feelings, we do have to let go of judgment. And I'll tell you, it does not work if you try doing this work of going and looking at your feelings if you're judging yourself for everything you find. It doesn't work. There needs to be an ability to go and look without judgment. And for me, that's kind of like, I'm going on a mission. I mean, a mission, a secret agent mission. To find what's hidden. You know, like there's something in here that's hidden. There's something in here that needs to be seen. It's not something that's in my conscious awareness now. And by looking at what's in my conscious awareness, the next layer will pop up. And by looking at that, the next layer will pop up. And by being willing to look, everything that needs to be seen will pop up until I finally get to the root of this. That's the secret agent mission. So if I am able to look at my feelings as a secret agent, I can do it without judgment. I'm going to discover what's hidden. But if I sit there with that belief that I'm bad and I'm not supposed to want to attack him, for example, I'm not supposed to have a broken heart, right? Spiritual people are supposed to be happy. You know, if I sit there with this judgment, I'm not supposed to feel this way. I will never have success in healing. That's like trying to heal the ego with the ego. It doesn't work. So Spirit is saying that I need to be able to go in, let go of the story, and just look at the thoughts without making up stories. I mean, just look at the feelings without making up stories about the feelings. Just looking. Right? Well, Spirit had just said up above that some thoughts can be useful. And so here I am, because saying, you know, throwing it right back in Spirit's face. Well, you said listening to some thoughts could be useful, right? And Spirit says, sure, they are useful in helping you to see what you still believe. If you didn't still have belief, you wouldn't listen to any thoughts. Listening to some brings feelings up in you, then you can drop into the feelings and discover true cause, which is not the specific form of the thoughts. It is the source of the thought, the source that created the echo. That is what you are truly still believing. So really what Spirit is saying here is, you know, he's recommending against practicing denial. You know, we have this ability to deny, where if I start noticing that, I'm really hurt, I'm really angry, and I start noticing that I want to attack him, then some thought comes into my mind from spiritual ego that says, but you already let go of hate, remember? You know, when you were going through the code, you let go of hate. You shouldn't be feeling these feelings now. And somehow I squash the thought and the story, but not a letting go, it's a repressing. It's different. The action is different. I'm not letting go of the story because I have no interest in it. I'm not letting go of the story because I think it's meaningless. I'm squashing the story because I'm supposed to be better than this. I'm supposed to be more spiritually advanced than this. Or because the story for some reason scares me. So he says it's useful to let a few of these thoughts run. It's useful to recognize I'm having attack thoughts. You know, it's useful to recognize I have thoughts of wanting this to be over. I have thoughts of wanting him to leave, or I have thoughts of wanting to return to our love. You know, it's useful to notice a few of these thoughts. But it's there's a difference between noticing the thoughts that are in my mind and continuing to walk around listening to them and believing them. Do you see the difference? I want to notice what my mind is thinking. I want to notice what these trigger thoughts are. But I don't want to keep believing them and call that. I know Lisa says, let it all come up, right? You can't release it if you don't see it. I don't want to continue to think it and think it and think it with the full power of my belief and say, I'm just letting it come up. You know, Spirit says, you know, a little sampling of the thoughts is enough. A little sampling tells you what's going on here. You don't need to stew in these thoughts. So look at the thoughts, right? Notice what's going on. Notice what your head is telling you. And then drop into the feelings. Now you've noticed the thoughts. Now what you want to do is notice the feelings. So it's different than believing the story. It's different than staying with the story. This is very purposeful. It's almost scientific, you know? So again, thoughts are useful in helping you to see what you still believe, right? If you didn't still have belief, you wouldn't listen to any of these thoughts. But listening to some of them brings up feelings in you, and then you can drop to the feelings and start to discover the true cause, which is not the specific form of the thoughts. The true cause has nothing to do with Laurent moving out of the bedroom, right? We are looking for the true cause of what's going on here, which is not specific to the form of the thoughts. It is the source of the thought, the source that created the echo. That is what you are truly still believing. Now, as Spirit was talking, I was able to do that. I was able to look at my thoughts, look at my feelings, and get down to it. And it, in this case, is rejection, I said. And Spirit said, even more, it is rejectability and the idea that rejection is deserved. Even in accepting the idea of rejectability through fear of rejection, you decide that rejection is deserved. So what Spirit is saying to me here is that the real cause of my suffering is my belief that I am so unworthy, so hideous at the core of my being, that I am totally rejectable. That whenever anyone rejects me, it is deserved. And I'm not really upset about what appeared to happen, you know, Laurent getting up and moving out of the bedroom and suddenly hating me and all of that. What's really upsetting me is that I believe I deserve this. And I can even look back in that other circumstance in Berlin and I can say that that was there too. I didn't look clearly at it because my mind was caught on the story. My mind was caught on him, what he's doing. He shouldn't, right? But when Spirit took me now to just looking at a sampling of my thoughts and then moving in the feelings, and I look at the first feeling that comes and the second feeling that comes, the next feeling, I got to it. It's rejection. And then Spirit just took me down one more level, the level that maybe I wouldn't have gone to quite so quickly by myself. More than rejection, it's rejectability, the belief that you have, that you are totally rejectable. And like I said, I knew. I mean, I didn't have to accept this on faith. I could see this as it was being pointed out to me. I didn't have to say, okay, Spirit, I trust you. Somewhere inside, I believe I'm totally rejectable. No, I saw it and I knew it. It was a fact. All we had done was see what the true cause of my pain was. I just had a little bit of help to look at what I hadn't been looking at. I'll tell you, all those thoughts running around in my head, not one of those thoughts running around in my head were saying to me, you're hurting because you believe you're rejectable. In fact, maybe you can even hear there's love in that, right? You're hurting because you believe you're rejectable. Now, that's not what these thoughts were saying. You're hurting because Laurent's an abusive asshole. He screwed you over. He should not have done this. And they even said, you don't deserve this, right? He doesn't see how good you are. These were the thoughts. Spirit's thought. You're hurting because you believe you're rejectable. That didn't show up until I sat down with Spirit. That was not in my mind. Ego did not throw that ball at me. But when Spirit threw that ball at me, I recognized that that was the truth. That was the bottom line, core truth. And so I said, yes, of course I believe this. Of course I do. It seems to be the deepest thing I believe about myself. But how do I shake a belief that is so firm, especially when it seems I have to face it every day? Now, when Spirit pointed this out to me, I got to tell you, I really did see it as, like, more than anything else, this is what I believe about me. And it seemed, the belief seemed to be so much a part of me that I couldn't imagine not having it. Like, that was just a fact about who I am. It's just something I'm going to have to somehow live with. This belief. Capital B-E-L-I-E-F. That's what it felt like. It actually felt more like this fact than a belief. That I'm just totally rejectable. That there's no reason why anyone should love me. That I might as well be tossed out in the trash. And like, how can I let go of this? Especially when I've got Laurent right here proving to me every day that it's true. And Spirit says, facing it every day is more helpful than you imagine. Now you just have to decide what you will do with your mind as you face it. I recommend remembering firmly that you are facing your own belief about you. Remember that every time the idea of rejection is brought up in you. Remember that each time your mind strays to prop thoughts. Simply by remembering what you are truly looking at, you begin to dispel illusions. And that's the end of the conversation. So what Spirit was saying to me is, now that you've seen the cause, the real cause of your pain, I recommend you don't go back to the pretending, back to the illusion, back to the blaming. I mean, I can, if I want to, get up from a conversation with Holy Spirit and go right back into, but Laurent's, you know, emotionally abusive. Not only that, I can find my friends to agree with me. They'll show up to agree with me. But if I choose to do that, I am refusing an opportunity to heal something that is very, very deep and something that colors a lot of the stories in my life. Or I could do something that was actually very simple. It was a simple, simple request. Spirit said to me, I recommend, I love that, I recommend, right? So obviously it's my choice. I recommend remembering firmly. Remember this firmly in your mind. I recommend remembering firmly that you are facing your own belief about you. Right? That's what I recommend. Remember that you are facing your own belief about you. You aren't facing the rejection of a man that you loved. You're facing your own belief about you. He says, remember that every time the idea of rejection is brought up in you. That means every time my mind starts to tell the story again, I say to myself. In fact, this was the mantra I had thought, I had remembered. I think I told you guys a number of times that Spirit told me to say this mantra. But now that I'm looking at the message again, Spirit didn't tell me specifically to say the mantra. The mantra must be something that I made up to help me, because it's not here in the message. So I stand corrected. Spirit did not tell me to say this mantra. Spirit made a recommendation, and I made up the mantra in order to follow the recommendation. So I made up a mantra. It is not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief in my own rejectability. That's the mantra I made up. It is not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief in my own rejectability. And every time the story, and I mean every time, I was consistent on this. Every time my mind started telling me the story of how he hurt me, I would answer in my mind with, "It's not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief in my rejectability," right? Every time I passed Laurent in the house and I saw that look of hate on his face, I would say, "It's not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief in my own rejectability." When I would go to bed at night, and I would hear him a few minutes later coming out, because he knew the coast was clear, right? He could come out into the house without seeing me, I'd say, "It's not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief and my own rejectability," right? And I would just say it. Now, my memory says that this went on for a couple of months. So there wasn't an immediate healing in this case, but I was consistent. And then one day, my daughter and a friend of hers and my dog were at a park, and I was walking around, and all this time, by the way, the broken heart was still there. And if you guys who have ever had a broken heart, you know how it feels. So it was still there. And I was walking my dog in this park, and I could still feel the broken heart. It was still there. But it started to feel like there was a lightness occurring on the outside of the broken heart. Almost like the broken heart was surrounded by light. And I knew in that moment that it was actually healing. It wasn't gone yet, but it was the first time I'd felt some light around the pain. Very quickly, within a couple of days of that point, very quickly, it healed completely. And I know that it healed completely for a couple of reasons. One is that my sight immediately changed. During that 2 months when I was walking around with the belief in my rejectability, when I looked at Laurent or thought of Laurent, I thought he was rejecting me. And I thought I deserved it. I thought I was the ugliest woman on earth. Why should any man want me, right? But once this healed, I looked at Laurent and I saw something totally different. I saw for the first time that he was in pain, and something inside of him was actually calling to me. Something inside of him still knew that I was committed to him on this path of healing, still saw me as the partner on the path of healing, and wanted very much for me to come and help him with his pain. I think the Course calls it a call for love. But I never saw that while I was caught up in my story that I was rejected. I never saw that something was wrong and that he needed help. And Lisa says, "Do you feel partnered with him on the path?" Not as directly now, no. But then, yes. No, not as directly now. But then, yes. Once I was able to see that he was in pain, I was able to go into his room. I hadn't gone into his room, you know. I just avoided, you know, the look of hate. But I was able to go into his room, and I was able to sit on the floor next to the bed, and I was able to start asking him You know, what's wrong? What are you feeling? What do you need? And he did begin sharing with me. He told you, you know, you heard in the recording, he said that the worst month of his life, I think it was, my memory says it was actually the worst 2 months. What began to happen for him, you know, not only did he have all of this resistance come up, but I think he had a lot of guilt around that resistance. Again, it was that same I am bad feeling, right? Here he is with this opportunity to heal. And he's running from it. He's resistant. In his language, you might say he wasn't being the good boy. And so he began to feel like the bad boy. And what happened for him was a rush of very deep unworthiness began to come up. And he hadn't, in his entire life, he hadn't looked directly at it. It had certainly been there, but he had not looked directly at it. And so this deep, deep unworthiness began to come up for him, and he didn't know what to do, and he was all alone. So one way that I know that the belief in rejection healed is, well, to put it bluntly, I quit seeing things from a selfish perspective. I don't think we realize how selfish we are in ego, but we really see everything from the point of view of me, me, I. And that died. I quit thinking about what's he doing to me. Why won't he love me? And the question became, what's wrong with him? What does he need? What can I do to help? The other way that I know that the belief in rejection was healed in me is because I've never experienced it again, even though you could say the opportunity has been provided. You know, eventually Laurent did leave, and his reason in his head, the head level, his reason for wanting to leave was that he did not want to be in relationship with me. In fact, you know, my perception was that we were guided to be in a couple relationship, and we did, you know, share a bed, and after a period of time we went back to sharing a bed again. You know, to me we were a couple. But, you know, whenever I would say that we were a couple or say that he was my boyfriend, you know, he always asked me not to use those terms. He was never comfortable with them. And eventually he left because he didn't want to be with me. If the belief in rejectability had been in my mind, I couldn't have helped but feel rejected by all of this. But I never felt rejected again. I only saw it as his mind, his places of unhealing, his need for love and understanding. I honestly, and this is the key word, honestly from my heart, not intellectually, right? I honestly only saw these opportunities for rejection. I only saw these opportunities as a call for love. I didn't see them as rejections. I never, ever felt rejected again. I couldn't take it personally once the belief in my own rejectability was healed. It wasn't there. It's just not how I saw. Later, you know, even after he was gone, the next person I was guided to invite to live with me was my friend Debbie. And when Debbie came here, you know, she also had very strong resistance. And even though she came here because a part of her mind wanted to heal, for the most part, she listened to her resistance. And what she did was she would stay in the bedroom with her door closed. You know, we're always doing things here. You know, we're going here, we're going there, going out to dinner, going hiking, you know, going to Garden of the Gods. And there's a group of people around a lot of the time. And we always invited Debbie. And she pretty much, with maybe one exception, always said no. And as the weeks passed, Jasmine, who really loved Debbie in the beginning, began to really not like her, took a really strong dislike to her. And Zoe, who came and stayed here for some time, also seemed to start, you know, really getting angry at Debbie. And one day, I don't remember how it happened, but it came out in conversation that they, Zoe and Jasmine, felt rejected by Debbie. You know, every time we invited her to do something, she'd say no. They felt rejected. What was happening, you know, maybe you can imagine this. When you invite someone to come and be with you enough times, they keep saying no, feels like a rejection. You start, you know, assuming you're listening to your human mind, your ego mind, you start to get angry. You start to get hurt. You start feeling rejected because you think you are rejectable. And what I found out is this is why Jasmine did not like Debbie. She felt totally rejected by her. And this is why Zoe was angry at Debbie. She felt totally rejected by her. And what amazing when they told me that is that that idea had never once occurred to my mind. Even though I was the one physically walking down and saying, Debbie, do you want to, dot, dot, dot. And I'm the one that she was saying no to. The idea of rejection never once entered my mind. I never felt personally rejected. I only felt like Debbie is hurting. So I know for a fact that whenever we feel rejected, it's because we believe we are rejectable. It is because of an unhealed belief in us. It has nothing to do with the other person. Nothing. And I know for a fact that if we allow that to be sincerely healed in us, we will see differently. We will never be hurt by the idea of rejection again. And in fact, we will respond with love in the exact same circumstances where before we would have been hurt. And again, the way Holy Spirit healed us in me was not, well, I'm going to say it was not a miracle. You know, it's called A Course in Miracles, and you could say in one way it was a miracle, but I'm going to say it wasn't. It wasn't really a miracle. It was an effect. An effect of what I was willing to do with my mind. Before, when I had thoughts about my own unworthiness, self-judgment going on and not paying attention to it, right? I had all this crap going on in my mind and I was not alert to it, and it resulted in me thinking I was the most hideous creature on earth and therefore totally rejectable. But Spirit just asked me to refocus my mind. And that whenever these thoughts came up about how rejectable I was, how hideous I was, how ugly I was, how much I hated him, how wrong he was, right? Whenever these thoughts started coming up, just to respond by remembering firmly that I'm only facing a belief about me. And like I said, I created a mantra. And all I did was be consistent with that. You could say, I no longer tolerated thoughts in my mind that continued to support the belief that I was totally rejectable. I just no longer tolerated them. And when they came up, I responded with my mantra. And as a result of that change in mind, there occurred a change in effect. Because you know what? The belief in our rejection has nothing to do with our truth, and therefore it cannot live in us unless we are continuously supporting it with our own thinking. And when we choose not to continuously support it, when we choose instead to practice in some way that reaffirms that this is just a false belief, this is not the truth about me, and we do that consistently, the belief, no longer having support, dies. And when it's dead, it's gone. And then we're free. So it's 6 o'clock, and I think that's the end of my story. I hope you guys heard me, because I know we're all the same. All right, good night, and I love you.